Due to technical difficulties, this is a re-recording of the sermon from Sunday, October 18th, 2015. May God's words alone be spoken. May God's words alone be heard. Amen. What is it you want me to do for you? That's the question Jesus asks our good old boys, James and John. What is it you want me to do for you? I wonder if there isn't a bit of snarkiness in Jesus' tone. I mean, I would hope so. See, just before these two knuckleheads decided now would be a great time to ask Jesus if they could climb the messianic corporate ladder, Jesus had just finished telling the disciples that once they got to Jerusalem, things were not going to go all that well. They wouldn't have a chance to enjoy the scenery, maybe heal a few folks while taking in the city nightlife. Instead, Jesus tells them, things are going to get ugly fast. He would be betrayed, killed, and then rise from the dead. Now, I don't know about all of you, but if someone I had come to care about, a mentor and teacher, had told me something like that, I'd hope I'd pay a bit of attention. You know, maybe offer a word of compassion, or more likely ask if we might run like hell in the opposite direction. You know, say to Jesus, hey, I hear Jerusalem is overrated. It is not all that it's cracked up to be. The prices are way over the top. Let's head down to the sea for a bit of fun in the sun instead. But these so-called Sons of Thunder, now doesn't that sound like some sort of hard rock band, the Sons of Thunder? Anyway, they're sort of doing the equivalent of holding up a selfie stick, trying to get Jesus in the picture with them so they can post it to Facebook. Because, you know, it's all about them, right? And after facepalming himself a bit, I'm betting Jesus is thinking, okay, I just told you I was going to die and all you care about is how that affects you? I remember someone talking about going on a blind date. And she said the guy talked for 2 hours about himself, then said to her, oh, I'm sorry, I've been talking all about me without you getting a word in. So what do you think about me? Needless to say, it was a short and last date. I think that man was related to these two. Now, a theme throughout this Gospel of Mark is that those on the inside, the disciples, are clueless, and those on the outside get it right. Which is how in seminary we could joke about the disciples. But I have to say, it's not just Mark. I mean, one could reasonably argue that with the exception of Mary Magdalene, the other disciples in all the Gospels were just a card or two short of a full deck most of the times. But what does any of this have to do with us, right? I mean, these early disciples are long gone. We know the story. Jesus died, Jesus lived. So how does all that matter? Well, it doesn't, really. Not those two brothers, anyway. But what does matter is what Jesus says in response to their request to sit on his right and left. What is relevant today is the life Jesus calls us to, and it isn't what we think. I remember a guy sitting in the seat ahead of me on a recent airplane trip, and he was wearing a bracelet that had this on it. Jesus is the answer. And I thought, well, what the heck is the question? What is the question? See, Jesus might be the answer, but the answer will scare the crap out of us. Because if Jesus is the answer, well, it means you are the answer, and you, and you, and all y'all, and me too. We are the body of Christ alive in the world. On the front of your bulletins for this week are the words of St. Teresa of Avila, who said, Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Now, this might seem a bit scary, and if it doesn't, maybe it ought to. So again, we might want to ask, what the heck was the question? I'm not sure there really is one single question, because there are so many we all have today, aren't there? Why are children killing children in schools? Why are mothers throwing infants off balconies to their death? Why do women still struggle for equality and dignity all around the world, and with children being forced into slavery? Why do gay people have to fight just to have the right to love? Why are there so many who have no safe place to live, refugees, immigrants, the poor, the marginalized. Why do we continue to abuse God's creation for our own selfish purposes? Why are our hearts breaking? Why? Folks, if Jesus is the answer, then the questions ought to give us all pause. And perhaps we wonder if we can respond like the disciples, if we are able. I mean, we aren't rich or famous or powerful. Well, if you are, let me know, because I've got a pledge card for you. I'm reminded a bit of a Zen Buddhist story. There once was a stonecutter who was dissatisfied with himself and his position in life. One day he passed a wealthy merchant's house, and through the open gateway he saw many fine possessions and important visitors. How powerful that merchant must be, thought the stonecutter. He became very envious and wished he could be like the merchant. To his great surprise, he suddenly became the merchant, enjoying more luxuries and power than he had ever imagined, but envied and detested by those less wealthy than himself. Soon a high official passed by, carried on a sedan chair, accompanied by attendants and escorted by soldiers beating gongs. Everyone, no matter how wealthy, had to bow low before the procession. How powerful that official is, he thought. I wish I could be a high official. And then he became a high official, carried everywhere in his embroidered sedan chair, feared and hated by all the people all around. And it was a hot summer day, so the official felt very uncomfortable in the sticky sedan chair. And he looked up at the sun. It shone proudly in the sky, unaffected by his presence. How powerful the sun is, he thought. I wish I could be the sun. And then he became the sun, shining fiercely down on everyone, scorching the fields, cursed by farmers and laborers. But a huge black cloud moved between him and the earth so that his light could no longer shine on everything below. How powerful that storm cloud is, he thought, and you guessed it. I wish I could be that cloud. And then he became the cloud, flooding the fields and villages, shouted out by everyone. But soon, he found that he was being pushed away by some great force and realized that it was the wind. How powerful it is, he thought. I wish I could be the wind. And then he became the wind, blowing tiles off the roofs of houses, uprooting trees, feared and hated by all below him. But after a while, he ran up against something that could not be moved, no matter how forcefully he blew against it, a huge, towering rock. How powerful that rock is, he thought. I wish I could be a rock. And then he became the rock, more powerful than anything else on earth. But as he stood there, he heard sounds coming from below and felt himself being changed. What could be more powerful than I, the rock, he thought. And he looked down and saw far below him the figure of a stonecutter, his hammer pounding a chisel into the hard surface. The stonecutter already had all the power he needed, only he didn't recognize it. He thought that power meant having control over people and things. James and John were likely thinking the same thing, but the truth is they and each of us have all that we need to do incredible things. The truth is we are able with God's help. And the world needs us to live into this, to understand this. We were never born to, as Jesus puts it, lord it over, folks. Yes, we need to make a living, but we shouldn't be living to work. We should be working to live. Our ambition shouldn't be the things society tells us are important, luxury, fame, power over others. Our ambition should be to leave the world better than we found it, to leave behind a legacy not of wealth and power, but of love. There's a Sufi teaching story that tells of a man who prayed continually for the awareness to succeed in life. Then one night he dreamed of going into the forest to attain understanding. The next morning he went into the woods and wandered for several hours looking for some sign that would provide answers. When he finally stopped to rest, he saw a fox with no legs lying between two rocks in a cool place. Curious as to how a legless fox could survive, he waited until sunset when he observed a lion come and lay meat before the fox. Ah, I understand, the man thought. The secret to success in life is to trust that God will take care of all my needs. I don't need to provide for myself. All I have to do is totally surrender to my all-sustaining God. 2 weeks later, weakened and starving, the man had another dream. In it he heard a voice say, "Fool, be like the lion, not like the fox." See, this being the body of Christ isn't about easy slogans on wristbands, but about a life of serving others, a life we are each called to and a life we are each able to fulfill. We aren't meant to just wander in here on a Sunday for some bread, wine, and awesome coffee afterwards. Hey, you know, it is the third sacrament. Kicking back in some sort of pew version of a recliner and figuring, Jesus is the answer. He'll take care of things. We are the body of Christ. We are the ones capable and born to be that answer. We are meant to be nourished here, fed here with love and community, not only so that we may be given what we need, because let's face it, we need that love too, but that we may have the strength for the journey ahead of us, so that we might, with God's help, be Christ in the world, so that we can be the ones who not only serve the marginalized, but seek them out as he did, so that we can be the ones who speak truth to power, overturning the tables of injustice and knocking down the walls of oppression, so that we may join the work God is already doing and see Christ in the eyes of the lost, the least, the lonely, the last, and even ourselves. This is what it means to be a person of faith, a follower of Christ. It isn't easy. It isn't easy, but it's rewarding in ways that no money could ever equal. I heard that a Sister of Mercy serving with Mother Teresa in Calcutta was once tending to the festering, oozing sores of a destitute patient when a tourist came to see the famous hospital. And the tourist commented, "I wouldn't do that for all the money in the world." And the sister looked up and replied, "Neither would I." People all over the world are hungry for love, for hope, for human touch. They hunger for food, for warmth, for dignity. And we are not a helpless fox, but lions capable of doing incredible work. We are not stonecutters who feel powerless, but artisans gifted by God to do great things, not for ourselves, but for others. In the words of that great prophet Bob Dylan, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bob Dylan's right about that. You're going to have to serve somebody. We all are. And we can serve God. We are able. We are able because we come here where we are restored, renewed, refreshed, our hearts open to where God is leading us next. Today you will be given crosses of many colors. Let it be a reminder to you of the incredible life of service you are called to and the way in which this parish supports and nourishes you in your work. Let the diversity of the colors remind all of us that everyone, everyone is a beloved child of God, the rich and the poor, the young and the old, the able-bodied and the physically challenged, the people of all races, cultures, and languages, the people who love differently and those who think differently. Carry it in your pocket as a daily reminder that you are not the work you do for money, but the life you live in love. This weary world, so filled with questions of despair, wait in hope that we ask one of our own. That each day we ask God, what is it you want me to do for you? And when we hear God's call to love and serve, we respond with, we are able. Amen.